All right, Martin, we have three questions here at the end. Really just quick fire answer. If you want to throw a Bible verse or something out, that's fine. First of all, whose job is it to evangelize? Second of all, who should we evangelize to? If the answer isn't everyone that I meet, then who should we focus on? And then third, if I haven't brought a ton of people to Jesus, should I feel bad about it?
Okay, so who should evangelize? Everyone. If you love Jesus, you should share him with the people around you. Who should you evangelize to? The people that you care about. You are going to do significantly better if you're sharing with somebody that you care for and love than with some stranger. So focus on the people that you have a relationship with, that you care about, and that you want to see in eternity with you. Because there are, honestly, there are some people where you're going to be indifferent about. And lastly, should you feel bad if you haven't brought tons of people to Jesus? No, you should not. When you look at how Jesus did ministry, which Jesus had a completely different way of sharing his faith because he is the source of our faith and is the source of his own faith. And so when he was convincing people of the truth of him being the Messiah, he could perform miracles. We don't really perform miracles when we do this. There's a significant amount of people who have been taught you should feel bad if you've never brought anybody to Jesus. And I don't believe that's accurate either. In our first episode, we talked about setting a goal. Is your goal when you meet with this person to get them dipped? Or is your purpose to bring them to a relationship with Jesus? Or even, as Jason mentioned in that episode, is your goal to just give them a positive Christian influence? And so all three of those are going to be effective evangelism. They may not all end up with that person getting dipped and saved and getting them in the pews, but it is going to impact the way that they see Jesus and the way that they see Jesus followers, which is often very negative in today's culture. And so being a good influence is a good goal. Getting them involved in some form of discipleship, whether it's a Sunday service or a small group or something along those lines, that's a great goal too. And if your goal is to get them dipped, please stay with them afterwards and help them to develop a deeper relationship through discipleship.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the way that I put it in that previous episode was, are you making progress? Are you doing something positive? So I will say, you probably should feel bad if you aren't doing anything to influence anyone else's faith in a positive direction. Because at that point, you're being unfaithful. But are you doing something for people that you care about, that you are close to make their relationship with Jesus better than it is right now? So if they are totally hostile to the faith, are you making them less hostile? If they kind of believe in Jesus, but don't think he's that important, are you making them see the importance of Jesus more? If they are already followers of Jesus, are you helping them to grow more faithful in their walk? Are you doing something to make some group of people you have influence over closer to Jesus than they are right now? That's the question you should ask yourself. The answer to that question is no. Then, yeah, you need to repent and you need to change the way that you're behaving. But if the answer to that question is yes, but you just have, like, you aren't particularly gifted at evangelism, or heck, most pastors have not brought a large number of people single-handedly to Jesus because we very rarely interact with people outside of the church. Because you meet most of the people that you know through school, and we went to Christian schools, or through your work, and we work in churches. So you don't have a lot of opportunities unless you meet your spouse's coworkers, or unless you're one of those people that can just make friends with everyone they meet. You don't get a lot of opportunities to meet non-Christians. Some of you might be
into a rec league of some kind.
No. Yeah. Yeah. So just finding the opportunities you have to draw people in some way closer to Jesus. That should be your metric. And if you're doing that, then you're helping the team. Besides that, I agree with everything that Martin said. I second that. I'm Jason Frederick and I approve this message. So I think we're going to cut the episode. Jason
Frederick stamp of approval.
Yeah, for the first time in your life.
That ain't true.
Actually, the haircut and the beard have my approval too, so kudos. We're going to cut it off there, though. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Next episode is going to be similar questions, but on discipleship. And I think Martin's going to kind of interview me. So that'll be fun, hopefully. And we'll see you guys back here then. Please give us 5-star reviews, follow us on Facebook, all that sort of stuff, and help us to continue build out this ministry. If this is helpful to you, please send it to friends and family to listen to. We would really, really appreciate being able to reach a few more people with these teachings. So thank you again, and we'll see you back here next week. All right. So today we're going to start off with those why questions, and I'm going to give you a chance here, Martin, to rehash a little bit what you said in the last episode, just real quick. Why should I evangelize at all? Like, I'm a busy person and I worry about what people think. Why should I even bother with evangelizing as a Christian?
The short answer is because you care about them. The long answer is, if you care about somebody, you care about how they live, you care about who they are, you care about what happens to them, then you have to care about what happens to them after death. You should evangelize because you care about people around you. And that's part of what Jason was talking about. I was joking. I do not believe that you should evangelize to everybody at all times. But that's part of why you do it, because you care about people. So you really should evangelize to the people you care about, to the people you love, family members, friends, coworkers, neighbors. If you care about them and you care about what happens to them, then you should care about what happens to them after death. But more importantly, when you look through Ecclesiastes, and when you look through, there's one other book that I can't think of right now that kind of hits on the same thing, but it gives this idea that the way that you live, the way that we were created, is to honor God. And we ought to share that. We ought to try and help others to find that purpose, to live that purpose.
Okay, so notice that in that answer, for you guys that are listening, in that answer, Martin made very little mention of the afterlife. And that is a really important part of evangelism, that we want to bring people to a saving knowledge of Jesus so that they can spend an eternity with their creator and with other believers. But the example he gave with Ecclesiastes, that like wisdom and satisfaction are found in living in line with God's rules. And Proverbs is about the same thing. When someone comes to know Jesus, we have an idea, especially in the American church, that we're giving them basically like a get out of hell free card. And that's it. Like, why should I follow Jesus? Oh, because you don't want to go to hell. And that's a cheap Jesus. Do what?
That's a cheap Jesus.
It's an incomplete Jesus. Jesus definitely speaks about hell. Granted, he speaks to people about hell, mostly religious leaders, about hell and the dangers of hell. But he speaks to people who already believed in hell and believed in Yahweh, and he's basically warning them, you aren't following God the way you're supposed to, and therefore you will be punished. But the value in following Jesus is not just so you won't go to hell. Like, there's value in this life when you choose to follow Jesus. There is a wholeness and a completeness. God's commandments are not just like to ruin your joy. It's because God has designed you and knows how people should live and how they can best live in the world. Again, the purpose of the book of Proverbs is to tell people how to live under normal circumstances according to God's laws and all the good things that will happen if they do that. When you evangelize to someone, you're basically giving them the secrets to living not just a moral life, but to living the good life, to living the life that God intends people to live. And they're going to find joy and satisfaction in that long before they, to steal a term that's not really theologically accurate, before they go to heaven, quote, end quote.
Absolutely. And that's something I had to come to terms with on my own. That's something you've had to come to terms with on your own. I mean, growing up in a culture where we're told, you know, we get baptized so that we can go to heaven, something you have to deconstruct for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Another episode we should do, why not all deconstruction is bad. Another thing you said that I just want to comment on real fast is you said you evangelize because you care about people. And it reminded me of a quote I had heard from Penn Jillette. I had to look up his name because I could remember his face, but not his name. He is a famous magician and illusionist, part of Penn and Teller. And he's also a very outspoken atheist, or I think he describes himself as an agnostic. He said he's had a lot of fans that through various means have tried to evangelize to him. And he says, I've never taken offense. I've never been convinced, but I've never taken offense. Because if you truly believe that the only way to not spend an eternity in hell and that the best way to live a good life is to follow the way of Jesus, it is immensely unloving of you to not tell other people about that. Like, how much do you have to hate someone? I think it's the way he put it. How much do you have to hate someone to not want to tell them about that? Let's dive in a little bit more into the why question. On an individual level, and we've started digging into this a little bit, but on an individual level, what does it do for someone? Like, if you're speaking to someone who doesn't follow Jesus, maybe they kind of know who he is, but they're not really convinced they should follow him. What good does it do them if Martin or Jason or some other Christian decides to sit down and talk to them about Jesus?
It's going to get into the who question a little bit, but having a relationship with that person is significantly, that's a huge part of what we're talking about. Why does it matter? Why should we talk to them about, maybe they know Jesus, but they're not following him? It doesn't matter if you're just some random person. It wouldn't matter a bit. If somebody came up to me and told me that I was not living the life I should, and I have no idea who they are, it means nothing to me. I mean, you can brush it off your shoulders. You might say, these people are ridiculous, but they leave, and you have, you may never see them again, so who cares? That's why relationship is so important in this, because you might have somebody who knows about Jesus. So, for instance, I have a younger brother. He is 14 months younger than me, but he grew up in the same world I did, where we went to church every Sunday, we learned about Jesus, we talked about what he did, but he didn't seem to experience the love that Jesus had for him, or something just didn't click, and he does not currently live a life that reflects Jesus. What's the difference? I had somebody who was important to me encourage me in that walk. I had somebody who was important to me who walked beside me with that. And that's going to get into discipleship. So I'm going to push it off to the side for later. Matt Chandler wrote a book called The Explicit Gospel. In the introduction, he starts talking about this Sunday that he was at the Village Church and these people started getting baptized. And a lot of them were talking about how they grew up in church. And they grew up around Christians, but they didn't hear the gospel. They heard Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And that's about it. And hearing that full gospel changes a lot, because it changes the way you perceive what Jesus did. It changes the importance that you put on that. It changes so much about what you believe. And so it's a great book. I'd recommend it to anybody.
Yeah, a verse that comes to mind when you say that is John 15:10, where Jesus is speaking to his followers and says, if you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. And he says, if you want that, if you want to live the way that you're supposed to live and be assured of your salvation, what do? You have to keep my commandments. So we have this idea that shows up, especially in evangelical circles, is not a uniquely American thing. It's a uniquely evangelical thing. Most other traditions seem to get this pretty well. We tend not to. Where we think, all I have to do is believe in Jesus and I'll be saved. And James' response to that is, you say you believe and do well, even the demons believe and shudder. So belief is not enough. You can believe in Jesus. There has to be more. And that other thing is obedience, belief that leads to action. And if you don't have that, you might not be saved. And that's hard, but we have to remember that. So when we're sitting with someone and we're talking to them about the gospel and we are bringing them the entirety of what Jesus says, that's how we can help them to enter into a right relationship with God and to receive salvation. Not just saying, hey, you need to believe in Jesus, I promise he was real, but saying you need to believe in Jesus and you need to believe what he says enough to actually do the things that you're supposed to do. So we got another question here that's not necessarily a why question. It's more of just, I want to address a accusation I've heard a lot from people, especially outside of the church, but some people in the church as well, which is specifically if, say, I'm a parent and I'm evangelizing to my child, I'm teaching my child to follow Jesus as they grow up. Aren't I brainwashing them?
No. You are going to teach your child about how the world works. That's part of parenting. I'm going to teach my daughter that when things are hot, you don't touch them because it hurts. I'm going to teach my daughter that you don't jump off of things because gravity's a thing. I am going to teach my daughter that you cannot breathe underwater, so you should come up for air. Because of that, they're going to be lessons that are involved in that. And because I believe that the world works in a way that God created it to, that Jesus entered into, and I believe that the Bible is true when it says these things, then I am going to teach her about those, because that's the way that the world works. That's part of being a parent. That's part of being a friend. And I do want to point out that that's part of why evangelism is so hard now. You look back 50, 100 years, probably more than that even, actually definitely more than that even, everybody, for the most part, had agreed that there was some deity that created, and that there may be multiple deities, there might be multiple deities that go over different things, or there might be one deity who controls everything, but for the most part, you did not have to fight the idea that there was a higher power. You didn't have to try and convince people of that. Now, if you're talking to an atheist or an agnostic person, you have to start out in a completely different area. You can't do what Paul does when he goes into Athens, when he walks in and says, you have this pantheon of gods, and you even have this one that's unnamed, that you don't even know. You can't start out there, because the majority, I don't want to say the majority of people who are not Christians, but a large section of people who are not Christians are not Christians because they don't believe that the world works that way. And so you have to start out in a completely different place. You can't start out with the assumption that there's a higher power. And it makes evangelism more difficult because you're not just trying to change, you know, the cultural understanding of how the world works for somebody. You're trying to change their entire worldview.
Yeah, and that's a great point. If you wait, you will have to change not just whether or not they think Jesus is real, but probably their entire operating system they live life by, how they view morality and where morals come from, how the universe works, what the role of people in the universe is, what reality itself is. And that sounds really crazy to say, like, you'll have to change their perception of reality. But this is like a philosophical question. What is prime reality is a question that philosophers will ask. If you want to dig more into this, there's some great books by Dr. James Sire that dig into it. Naming the Elephant is a really good one that gives different breakdowns of what different cultures and religions think about these sorts of questions. But this really important question, what is prime reality? What is really real? Or what, to couch it in a slightly different way, what existed when nothing else did? And if you're a standard American, then you'll say energy or time or some sort of physical laws have always existed, and everything else is birthed out of that prime reality. If you are a Christian, then God is what is really real, and everything else comes out of him. And if you don't teach your kid Christianity from the beginning, they're not going to think that. And you're going to have to totally change their paradigm of where the universe comes from, what's truly real. And then from that, you know, how do we get morality? If you're a standard American, you're going to say, well, what's moral is what makes people feel good, or what's moral is what gives the most people the most rights, or what's moral. You might have a couple different questions like that, but it's all based in what people think. Whereas if you're a Christian, what's moral is what God decrees is moral. And that's a total paradigm shift. You'll have to change the way that person thinks, which is crazy. So you need to start teaching people how the world really works when they are young. And if you're a Christian and you're convinced that Christianity is true, you think the world works the way the Bible says the world works. So if you're not passing that along to your kids, you're doing them a disservice. The other thing I want to point out, especially when people say, well, I just want my kid to be able to choose, because I didn't get to choose when I was young. My parents made me go to church. I want my kids to be able to choose. By not teaching them Christianity, you are making the choice for them. Because the vast majority of people who come to follow Jesus make a decision to follow Jesus while they are still teenagers or younger. And the background music, and Martin kind of said something to this effect while he was talking, the background music of culture, the assumptions that culture makes, used to be Christian, but they're not anymore. So if your kid just goes to public school, never goes to church, you don't teach them Christianity in your home, they're going to be taught kind of a slightly spiritualized, moralized version of what's called secular humanism, that the whole world revolves around human beings, what human beings want, what human beings need, and that there is either no higher power, or if there is a higher power, that higher power basically just exists to make us better people or to make us feel better. Your kid's going to learn that because that's what most people in culture believe. They're going to be taught by their friends. They're going to be taught by Reddit. They're going to be taught by their teachers at school. They're going to be taught by other voices. This is what you should believe. So when you teach them Christianity, their friends and the internet and their teachers and whoever are still teaching them those other things. And now they get to choose. So if you don't teach your kid, they hear one worldview and they don't get a choice. If you do teach your kids Christianity, now they get to say which one makes more sense, Christianity or what everyone else is teaching me. And they actually get to weigh the options. And since they know there's more than one option, then maybe they start looking at other things. Maybe they say, well, what about Buddhism? And what about Islam? And what about whatever? And they actually, you're by teaching your child Christianity, you're giving them the power to choose when they are older. And they will not have that if you don't teach them. It is not brainwashing. That's a ridiculous, stupid insult. And I hear it all the time. And you are not giving your child the option to choose by not teaching them anything. You're giving them the power to choose by teaching them. And as a pastor, I would love for all the kids in my church to dig into every possible worldview, because I think if they do, the vast majority of them will come out to believe that Christianity is true, because it just frankly makes more sense than the other options. All right. This one should be hopefully a little less testy. Why should I try to evangelize? Not just to my kids, but to my friends, to my coworkers. Why should I try to evangelize to people around me, especially if I'm scared they might end up not agreeing with me or even taking offense?
This is my thing. And it kind of piggybacks off what you just talked about for your children. When I was doing support raising training with a missions organization, one of the things that they told us almost at the beginning was when you're talking to people, when you meet people, when you're meeting with churches, when you're meeting with individuals, ask the question. Always ask the question. Because by not asking, you have answered it for them. And you may not know what the Spirit is doing for them. You may not understand what's going on in their life right now. You may not understand what kind of a situation they're in. And those things will affect how they respond. And you do not fully understand what is going on in all of those. So, for instance, for raising money, maybe last week I meet with somebody at Jason's church, and Jason had just given a sermon about giving, about how God has asked us to be cheerful givers and to support his endeavors. And the spirit has been working with that person, and they have decided that they're going to support a missionary. They don't know who, they don't know any missionaries yet. And then I come up and I say, hey, I'm looking at going on the mission field and I would love to have you help support me. And the spirit is moving in that person and just waiting for an opportunity. And there's the opportunity that they can now follow through. When we talk about this in evangelism, right? So for instance, maybe I'm going to talk to my neighbor. My neighbor lives next door. Super cool dude. He's got two huskies, which is a big win for me. I love big furry dogs. Jason, I'm sorry, your dogs aren't as fluffy as his, and they're probably
a little bigger. You love big furry dogs, and you have two French bulldogs.
I do. I also love big furry dogs. But, so, I'm going to talk to my neighbor. I've decided that I'm going to talk with him a little bit and invite him to come to church with me and start a discipleship relationship and really get involved in faith. I don't know where he's at, but that's what I've decided I'm going to do. Well, maybe that week the Spirit has been working around him to kind of poke holes in what he believes right now. Or maybe his great-grandma just died and he's starting to think, well, what happens after we die? Where is there a good place? Is there a bad place? Am I going to be in the good place or am I going to end up in the bad place? He's asking questions about that. And so I've decided I'm going to talk with him about Jesus. And that might be one of the first questions he wants to know. Well, what happens when we die? Well, Jesus laid out pretty well. There is a place for people who love and follow him. And there is a place for people who do not. And those are the places that we would traditionally call heaven and hell. Or if you don't want to use the churchy terms, you can call them the good place and the bad place. But that also looks like a reference to the Good Place TV show with Kristen Bell, which is a really great show, by the way. You know, you should always have these conversations with the people you care about. Not every time you see them. But if you start to feel like it's the right time, talk with them, because they might have something going on that has pushed them to challenge what they believe, that has made them more open to this option. And you might be the person who shows them to Jesus. And that's an amazing honor, to be the person who introduces Jesus to somebody.
Yeah, I have nothing to add to that. So I think that's a terrific answer. And it's, yeah, people might get mad at you. People might not. You just don't know. But you do know that you have a commandment to evangelize, to reach out to other people, to issue opportunities for them to choose to follow Jesus. And if you choose not to, then you are depriving them of the opportunity to do the thing that they are designed for. So just don't do that to people. It's worth the risk. And the reality is, most people are not going to be offended. They may not agree. You may not successfully reach them, but the vast majority of people are not going to be angry at you because you tried to tell them about your faith. I've had, dating back to like when I was in high school, I've had people who were Muslim. More recently, even as a pastor, I had someone who was a Black Hebrew Israelite try to convince me that their faith is correct and mine is wrong. And I never felt offended. I would never felt convinced, but I never felt offended. And I think most people won't. All right, Martin, we have three questions here at the end. Really just quick fire answer. If you want to throw a Bible verse or something out, that's fine. First of all, whose job is it to evangelize? Second of all, who should we evangelize to? If the answer isn't everyone that I meet, then who should we focus on? And then third, if I haven't brought a ton of people to Jesus, should I feel bad about it?
Okay, so who should evangelize? Everyone. If you love Jesus, you should share him with the people around you. Who should you evangelize to? The people that you care about. You are going to do significantly better if you're sharing with somebody that you care for and love than with some stranger. So focus on the people that you have a relationship with, that you care about, and that you want to see in eternity with you. Because there are, honestly, there are some people where you're going to be indifferent about. And lastly, should you feel bad if you haven't brought tons of people to Jesus? No, you should not. When you look at how Jesus did ministry, which Jesus had a completely different way of sharing his faith because he is the source of our faith and is the source of his own faith. And so when he was convincing people of the truth of him being the Messiah, he could perform miracles. We don't really perform miracles when we do this. There's a significant amount of people who have been taught you should feel bad if you've never brought anybody to Jesus. And I don't believe that's accurate either. In our first episode, we talked about setting a goal. Is your goal when you meet with this person to get them dipped? Or is your purpose to bring them to a relationship with Jesus? Or even, as Jason mentioned in that episode, is your goal to just give them a positive Christian influence? And so all three of those are going to be effective evangelism. They may not all end up with that person getting dipped and saved and getting them in the pews, but it is going to impact the way that they see Jesus and the way that they see Jesus followers, which is often very negative in today's culture. And so being a good influence is a good goal. Getting them involved in some form of discipleship, whether it's a Sunday service or a small group or something along those lines, that's a great goal too. And if your goal is to get them dipped, please stay with them afterwards and help them to develop a deeper relationship through discipleship.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the way that I put it in that previous episode was, are you making progress? Are you doing something positive? So I will say, you probably should feel bad if you aren't doing anything to influence anyone else's faith in a positive direction. Because at that point, you're being unfaithful. But are you doing something for people that you care about, that you are close to make their relationship with Jesus better than it is right now? So if they are totally hostile to the faith, are you making them less hostile? If they kind of believe in Jesus, but don't think he's that important, are you making them see the importance of Jesus more? If they are already followers of Jesus, are you helping them to grow more faithful in their walk? Are you doing something to make some group of people you have influence over closer to Jesus than they are right now? That's the question you should ask yourself. The answer to that question is no. Then, yeah, you need to repent and you need to change the way that you're behaving. But if the answer to that question is yes, but you just have, like, you aren't particularly gifted at evangelism, or heck, most pastors have not brought a large number of people single-handedly to Jesus because we very rarely interact with people outside of the church. Because you meet most of the people that you know through school, and we went to Christian schools, or through your work, and we work in churches. So you don't have a lot of opportunities unless you meet your spouse's coworkers, or unless you're one of those people that can just make friends with everyone they meet. You don't get a lot of opportunities to meet non-Christians. Some of you might be
into a rec league of some kind.
No. Yeah. Yeah. So just finding the opportunities you have to draw people in some way closer to Jesus. That should be your metric. And if you're doing that, then you're helping the team. Besides that, I agree with everything that Martin said. I second that. I'm Jason Frederick and I approve this message. So I think we're going to cut the episode.
Frederick stamp of approval.
Yeah, for the first time in your life.
That ain't true.
Actually, the haircut and the beard have my approval too, so kudos. We're going to cut it off there, though. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Next episode is going to be similar questions, but on discipleship, and I think Martin's going to kind of interview me. So that'll be fun, hopefully, and we'll see you guys back here. Then please give us 5-star reviews, follow us on Facebook, all that sort of stuff, and help us to continue build out this ministry. If this is helpful to you, please send it to friends and family to listen to. We would really, really appreciate being able to reach a few more people with these teachings. So thank you again, and we'll see you back here next week.